Laudetur Jesus Christus. Praise be Jesus Christ. You're listening to the Abbot Circle podcast, presented by the Norbertine Canons Regular of St. Michael's Abbey.
The mother of the sons of Zebedee approached Jesus with her sons and did him homage, wishing to ask him for something. He said to her, "What do you wish?" She answered him, "Command that these two sons of mine sit one at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." These, of course, are the opening words of today's gospel, selection from St. Matthew, just read by our deacon. They are words of an anxious mother. A mother anxious for the future of her sons. Known to her in this life, as exemplified by the titles which each would bear down throughout the centuries, even to our own day, we remember them as James the Greater and John the Beloved. These are words of a mother to which the Lord Jesus responds, quite frankly, I think we could say, I guess for that time and place and culture, "You do not know what you're asking." But there are words to which the subsequent actions of the Lord and divine providence would provide answers far beyond her expectation. For one son, one of the Lord's in his circle, his apostles, was chosen to walk the path of preaching, painful suffering, and death, as it was marked out in the public ministry of our Lord. And the other son, known down throughout the ages as the beloved disciple, would also be distinguished as the only one of that circle who would not follow the type of suffering and death followed first by his brother and then the other ten. Being first. That expression, being first and second, in the case of James and John, carries with it the image of a contest, a competition, a race for a prize worthy of all the effort. And that clearly was a mindset not unknown to the ten others, as seen by St. Matthew's straight-out comment, "When the ten heard this, they became indignant at the two brothers." What is nice is that the ten did not go after the mother, but rather directed their indignation at the son she was trying to promote. Indignation, anger or annoyance provoked by what is perceived as unfair treatment. Obviously, hearing that request for the two places, one at the right and one at the left of the Lord, something in the hearts of the ten, or better in their minds and maybe their daydreams, their wonderings how the Lord would reward them. Perhaps many of them wanted to say to the mother, "No, that first place, that's what I've always wanted. That's always what I've imagined. That's something that would be expected by me." At any rate, the proper prayers of today's Mass for the feast of St. James the Apostle, James the Greater, as distinguished from the Lesser James, pick up on that request to be first. In the Collect, we have prayed, "Almighty ever-living God, who consecrated the first fruits of your apostles by the blood of St. James, And then in the prayer over the gifts, cleanse us, Lord, so that on the feast of St. James, whom you willed to be the first among the apostles to drink of Christ's chalice of suffering, as best as can be determined, our saint suffered the honor of his blood being the means by which they were consecrated the first fruits of the work of the apostles, the honor of being first to drink from the chalice of the Lord's suffering. He suffered this in the year 44 AD in Jerusalem. In the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 12, verse 1 to 2, we read, about that time, King Herod laid hands upon some members of the church to harm them. And he had James, the brother of John, killed by the sword. And when he saw that this was pleasing to the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. King Herod. Back in Brooklyn, we would say he was a piece of work. It is to be noted that the scriptures identify the means by which and the details of death of St. James alone. No other apostle is thus singled out, except, of course, for Judas, who we can say had left the Apostolic College that Holy Thursday night. No other apostle is singled out in this way. So in addition to our other petitions, we might do well today to pray for each other, that he or she or they have that grace desire of being the first in outdoing each other in charity. For as regards this challenging goal, we should take the words of the closing prayer to heart. For there we pray that in this way we can depend through the intercession of St. James, on whose feast we have received with joy your holy gifts. The gift of his word, the gift of his body and blood, the gift of that inner circle to which we all belong, that inner circle which is Christ's church. Today is the name day of our Frater Santiago, whose chosen patron under that name calls to mind the tradition that St. James evangelized the country of Spain and then returned home just in time to be executed. And by such a place of importance, has merited for him a long-standing remembrance of his work in the centuries of making the pilgrimage to Santiago de Compostela. So we ask you to please keep Frater Santiago in your prayers today. Today also marks the beginning of a weeks-long meeting of the confreres and the sisters of our order, whose day-to-day work, day in and day out, and sometimes day and night, the formation of the young who come to our abbeys and priories seeking God's will and discerning a call to the canonical life, the life of canons regular and canonesses regular. We have with us several priors representing their houses as well as novice masters and novice mistresses. And including our formators here at St. Michael's, this week we will see a representation from 14 different canonries, independent abbeys and priories, several from the United States and then various countries in Europe. It is a first for us to be able to welcome our brothers and sisters here in our relatively new home. And for me, it will always absolutely be our new home, our new abbey. So we ask you also to keep this intention in your prayers, that the meetings and various activities of the week bear fruit which is visible and not so visible.
Thank you for joining us on the Abbot Circle podcast. May God bless you.